Well, friends, once again, what an exciting day. And I'll tell you, it's always nice and so pleasant to be reminded that God loves you, and God does love you. And we probably need to pound that in. Whether or not you and I were even interested in him many years back, or even maybe today, God is really pretty crazy about you, and he likes you a lot. How's that? Sometimes the word loved is a little overworked, but God's interested in what you are doing because he just loves you so much. Well, as we begin, I just want to encourage you, our ushers do have a few Bibles, and we just want to make sure, as is our custom, we always want people to take a Bible home if they just don't have a Bible. We want to give you a Bible, at least to use a Bible, and we do use our Bibles, whether it's electronic Bibles or not. And I just want to highlight our series. We're going to jump right back into our sermon series. It's entitled Oneness of Purpose. It's also our theme for this year, Oneness of Purpose. And we've been talking about the oneness, the church. We're going to be talking about the church just a little bit. Talking about a church. Here's one I heard about, a little six-year-old boy. He was standing in the lobby of the church, and he was looking at a large plaque, and on the large plaque were a lot of names, and next to the names were flags. And he was staring at it, and then he asked the pastor, "What does this mean?" And the pastor said, "Oh, those are memorials for young men and women who died in the service." And the little boy, just with shock and awe, stood there and finally asked, "Was it the 9 or 11 a.m. service?" I always tell who's going to be with me during this whole sermon and the balance of the service. Hey, we'll get you going a little bit, because right through the side doors here are our free donuts and coffee. Isn't that true? I feel like I'm like a reunion rescue mission. Just hear the message and we'll get you in there. We'll do. But we're excited. This morning we have, again, the message on the church. And because it's Mission Sunday, today's message is entitled The Church on a Mission from God. On a Mission from God. And I want, it's an interesting, ABC Network did a series on television, and it ran from 1966 to 1973. Many of you weren't even born yet, but it was called Mission Impossible. Remember that? Man, it was the IMF, stood for the Impossible Mission Force. And usually what it was is these crack commando kind of people that they would just get an assignment anywhere around the world. It was a mission. And it started off every day that they had an opportunity, they would listen to this little reel-to-reel tape. Now, that really shows you how old it was. And it started off by saying, "Your mission, should you decide to accept it." Remember that? Should you decide to accept it. And then it kind of ended, "This tape shall self-destruct in 5 seconds. And then the music started playing. How many remember the music? Dun, 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 dun. Three of you. It's a relatively young group I'm talking to this morning, that's for sure. But our mission, we could say our purpose, because we talked about the oneness of the local church. I love the church. We're talking about us. But we have a purpose, and we could say the mission. It's the Great Commission. We really do. And it's important that we keep that before us. Our mission, should you choose to do it. It really comes from Jesus in Mark 16:15, where it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So it's important when we take a look at that. Man, it was really the mission. We call it the mission, but Jesus literally called it the fishing for people. And so I'm asking you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 today. And as we begin to read, our custom, my custom is as well, we always pray, "Oh Lord, open our hearts," because we don't want to waste our time, but you are all about getting things done. So Lord, may this message get things done in our lives personally and in our church collectively, in Jesus' name, amen. We're taking a look at verse 1, Acts 1:1, and this is, Luke is writing this book. He's writing it to the person that's listed there, Theophilus. And he also wrote the Gospel of Luke. Take a look at verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. That's the book of Luke. Now we have Acts. That's the sequel. What happened after Jesus went on to glory? That's the book of Acts. So he's writing both. They're bookend. Let's go verse 2. Until the day in which he, Jesus, was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days. How many days? 40. Some people think that Easter Sunday was just it. He like, poop, out of the grave and bah, see you later. 40 days. 40 days. He was a month and a half he was out engaging with his believers and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, capital P, the Holy Spirit, of the Father, which he had said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Let me take a look at this. It's an interesting thing because we have a mission from God. God's saying, hey, if you so choose, this is what I want you to do. And why? Our first point, our purpose, we could say our mission, but our purpose is global. It's a big one. We're one, glory to God, but this purpose is a big one. It's global. And letter A, because of the character of God. God is a missionary. If we don't understand that term, 27 centuries ago, this guy named Isaiah the prophet, in Isaiah chapter 6, if you were to ever write that down and check it out, verse 8, it says that I heard the voice of the Lord say, who shall I send and who will go for us, the Trinity? That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's an amazing thing. God says, who's going to go for us? We can do it, but what a privilege when somebody gets the opportunity to go. The first human missionary, really, was Abraham. And it's in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, when God told Abram, I want you to leave your country, leave your home, and I want you to go to a land I'm going to tell you. Wow. And in so doing, verse 3, all the families of the earth will be blessed if you go. Wow. And the ultimate blessing was Jesus Christ, coming from that lineage. So Jesus himself is a missionary. Talk about leaving home. He left heaven and came to earth on one Christmas morning. And usually a missionary, many of them like the ones you just saw, they leave what they know to go to the unknown. And for some of you that are wanting to say, man, I want God to do something in my life, it often requires leaving what we know to experience something we don't know. And that's really hard for some people. We like security. We get it. But God starts to move on a person's life, and it's pretty impacting. So we see this. I like what Robert Speary said this. He's the director of the Student Volunteer Movement. He says, if you want to follow Christ, you must follow him to the ends of the earth, for that is where he is going. I'll follow you, Jesus. Just stay within my house. Don't go too far. The second reason our purpose is global, letter B, because the condition of the harvest. If you take a look at Matthew chapter 9, just for a moment, to the right there, you'll find in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is right there in the Sea of Galilee, and he looks up in verse 36, and he says, but when he saw, I'm in Matthew 9, verse 36. I know you'll want to write that down. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So we take a look here. It's worth noting because, well, let's just say this. People are soul sick. They're searching, but without hope. You sit down and ask a person, they're looking for something. Everybody's looking for, whether that's identifying with something or fulfillment with something. And when you really get down to that, I know the day I received Jesus was the day I said, man, that's what I'm looking for. Just something revolutionized my approach and attitude. It was phenomenal. So the harvest, one translation put it this way, Matthew 9, verse 36, they were exhausted by their troubles and their longing and aimless wanderings. That's how they translated what Jesus saw them as. There are 6.7 billion people, most of them without Jesus in their life. That's a lot of people. You might know some of the 6.7. You say, well, I think they're nice. They might make it. Not without Jesus. Why would Jesus have to come if they could have made it for being a nice person? So because of the character of God and the condition of the harvest, the church, especially Hope Chapel, we must never turn inward. We should never become a bless me club. When we take a look at our events in our calendar, when we look at our budget, it should never be focused on ourselves. Because it's the heart of the Lord who want to continue to move us outward. Our purpose, that's our theme, oneness of purpose. What's our purpose? Man, it's global. It's global. How are we going to do that? That's why we maintain a oneness. I see it, and I know you see it too. Letter C, because the commission of Jesus. The third reason our mission is global, Jesus has commissioned us in Mark 16, 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world. The commission of Jesus, Acts 1, 8. We just read that. Let me reread that. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, usually in the local community, Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and look at that last line, to the ends of the earth. It's a global commission. It's pretty large. Now, unbelievers, when I say unbelievers, those are people that, you know, they kind of, maybe God's out there somewhere, but they just don't believe the Bible, and they really don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and they think there are multiple other ways with which a person can arrive at nirvana or paradise. Or even some liberal Christians think that why would we want to push our Western Christianity upon another culture? And that's interesting. I don't know if you've had that kind of conversation. I certainly have it quite a bit. And the last time I checked is that Christianity began in the Middle East and worked its way here. And now a number of us are born again radicals. And we want to go back and say thank you and send the gospel back there. And see a few of the offspring of the original intentions to be born again. So it's important but there are those that say, well, you know, it's not, to have your little mission, it's not very, it's incompatible really to the spirit of intolerance. I've heard that one, and it's interesting because being tolerant is really to let everyone else's belief kind of be accepted and be in. But Jesus was very clear in his approach. I understand about how we could infringe on certain cultures, but the gospel, Jesus says, is for the whole world. Let's remember that, a whole world. He says for the whole world. And that's important when we take a look at that. If it came right down to that, remember how in John 3:16, Jesus came because the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Boy, that's the remedy. It's amazing. If you had a global pandemic disease going on and there's a fix, the treatment, you'd want to hand it out. How many remember Hansen's disease, aka leprosy? Leprosy was fixed because there was a remedy that really from America to Argentina to Africa. I mean, the same remedy worked on any human being. Isn't that great? The gospel, good news of God's love for humanity, is Jesus for every human being. You'd want to share that. So the doctor says, go into all the world. It's for every person that is sick because of the outbreak of sin. And it's important for us. So, letter D, because of the coming judgment. If you look at Acts chapter 1 again, let's go a little bit further. Look at verse 9. I'm in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 now. We proceed. Now when he, Jesus, had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, they are looking up. As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Second reason why our purpose is global is because the coming judgment. It's important. Christians, by and large, fail to be reminded there's coming a judgment. We don't really talk about that. That motivates me. Think about that. We're not just talking about somebody's end of their life here on this earth, but it's important for us. When Jesus comes, like was described, what will he come like? Will he come as a savior? No. Will he come as a little baby in the manger again? No. He's going to come as a judge. He's going to come as a judge. Revelations 19:11. In righteousness, he will come and come as a judge. So there's a time. His first coming, we read about it in the New Testament. It's all about that. Little babe in the manger, grew up, suffered and died. Second coming is yet to happen. We have this wonderful little hiatus between here, and that's where we get the chance to preach the gospel. It's on right now. It's happening. You are living that era. I'm living in that era right now between the first coming and his second coming. So there's going to come a day, and you know that day's called harvest time, that metaphor. And it's not the harvest time because they're an agricultural society, so everybody kind of looked at that. It's not like you plant and then you harvest another time. It literally talks about end time judgment, the harvest time. Matthew 13:39, you may want to write that down. Matthew 13:39, Jesus said, the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. So harvest time is an event that's coming. And that verse goes on, says, therefore, as tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. So no wonder why when we read in Matthew 9, when Jesus is looking at the multitude, why he was moved with such emotion. He knows the end. He knows the end. It's not just, well, let's help them with a basket of food today. He knows what's going to happen. It's an important thing to remind ourselves how those things all of a sudden come. The ultimate condition, the harvest. It's kind of like a cruise ship. I don't know if you ever took a cruise ship. There are a lot of people on a cruise ship, 5,000, maybe more. Some of them are pretty massive luxury liners. And that ship starts to go down. And the only one that knows is the captain of the ship. And he's telling everybody in the wonderful stately room, in the ballroom, enjoy yourself. Here's a few more chips, freely gamble. You go ahead, open bar at everybody. Have a blast. Go for it. And everybody's having just a great time because we don't want to offend the customers.
But the ship is going down, and the captain knows it. And usually the one that's controlling environments is Satan himself. And somebody has to come in there and blow the whistle and say, listen, harvest is coming. Harvest is coming. It's a global purpose that we have. Let's take a look. Point two, our purpose is possible. Purpose is possible. The IMF, the Impossible Mission Force, we are PMF, the Possible Mission Force. It really, we're doing some great things at Hope, just so exciting. I'm just excited to talk about missions. I'm talking about just what we're doing. And maybe somebody might feel like they want to slot into one of those three to pray for missions. Like Jesus says, pray for the harvesters to give. They don't, where should I give? I don't know. I'm accumulating a few extra bucks. Or to go. Pray, give, go. That's why I like talking about this. Our purpose is possible. In Acts chapter 2, it's called the day of Pentecost. That's when the church began. That's our birthday. Holy Spirit came to earth, boom, and the disciples waiting for the promise were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, that's pretty impressive, don't you think? Was that just 12 that were baptized? Take a look if you have your Bibles open. Look at Acts chapter 1 once again, and look at verse 12 to verse 14. How many were there in that room when the Holy Spirit touched base? Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. When they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Can you see that there? Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of the names were about 120. And he said, 120 in the upper room, not 12. And then the Holy Spirit came, verse 1, 2, and 3, and they all spoke with tongues. Isn't that amazing? Holy Spirit, boom. Jesus said, you have a testimony. You saw me resurrect. You can go and tell people, but don't go. You can go, but don't go. Why? Wait for the promise. Letter A, that's our point. When filled with the Holy Spirit. Our purpose is possible, but believers got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I read Acts 1, the 120. Jesus' mother was in the 120. Just a FYI, Mary, the mother of God, yeah? She spoke in tongues. Just want to throw that out there. Just in case, well, who? Yeah, it's just, we. Man, she's, I tell my Catholic relatives, man, Mary was Pentecostal. Anyway, that's all right. That's a freebie. I want to throw that out there just in case. I like Mary. She was rad. We take a look at that. It's important because in verse 8 of Acts 1, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You can go, but don't you go. Why? You need power. You can talk, but don't do it without the Holy Spirit. Now, the power of the Holy Spirit is mentioned 60 times in the book of Acts. 60 times. I'm just going to give you two. Just two. I could list a lot of them, but here they are. Just write them down and maybe take a look. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. In Acts 4, verse 8, this is what the scripture says. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? You don't want to read through that without saying, wow, what made the difference from a doubter and a denier of Christ to one that moved in boldness? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of people, of the people and elders of Israel. Here's another one, same chapter 4, verse 31. Churches in there praying, they just were scolded not to preach about Jesus. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with what? Glory to God. That gets me so excited. Why? I remember working in the print shop, and a guy named Chris, so sarcastic, and I wanted to tell him about Jesus. I just felt insecure about it. I just didn't know where to start. I mean, you ever have somebody that has a comeback, always has something to kind of slam the other person or ridicule, and you just feel shut down? I remember going into work, and I saw in Acts 1, you'll receive power, and then you'll be my witness once the Holy Spirit comes. So I just said, Lord, fill me full of the Holy Spirit. I didn't hang around with a lot of people that said, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You kind of stumble across these things. And all or nothing really happened. I didn't really speak in tongues. Lord, fill me full of the Holy Spirit because I am not getting through to this dude. And lo and behold, it was the most amazing thing because I started to speak clearly and scriptures came and I felt such a boldness. I articulated in such a way. Have you ever had that? It's like, man, I feel like an out of a body experience. I just like, wow, was that me talking? That's what it's all about. We would never send a soldier into battle without proper armament or even a weapon. We would never send a mechanic to go fix somebody's vehicle without the proper equipment of tools, right? You would never send a surgeon into an operation without the proper equipment. And we should never, never send a Christian to the world without the Holy Spirit. Never, never. Many of us is why we feel so insecure. Man, you need the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, you can talk. Go ahead, try it. Nothing's going to happen. But you will when the Holy Spirit and power comes on you. You got Peter when asked, do you know? I think you're one of his disciples. I don't know him. I never knew him. And then he cussed about it. Three times. And the Holy Spirit comes on him. Man, little sermonette in chapter 2, and 3,000 people get saved. Holy Spirit's for you. Holy Spirit's for you. Our purpose is global, and our purpose is very possible. Letter B, finally, when followers become fishermen. It's interesting because, you know, as Jesus said in Mark 1, 17, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, spiritually, we could say that the disciples were fish. Let's just say that. They were fish. And Jesus said, follow me. Now, fish becomes followers. Are you following? All right. And then he says, you're no longer followers. I'm going to make you fishers of men. It's our assignment. When the saved become sent, ooh, that's so radical. Just like, it's like telling a dog, sick them to me. Because there's people that are needing the message of the gospel. Go into all the world. How far, God? All the world. These people we saw on display, man, they're doing it. Maybe not all the world, but we're sending some in different regions and different locations. And you've got a home and a neighborhood, people I don't even know exist, but you do. Holy Spirit knows, and he's going to help us. Just want to finalize with one with John 14, 12. Remember when Jesus says, most assuredly, I want to tell you, the works that I have done, you will do also, and greater works you will do, because I go to be with my Father. Acts 14, 12. And some would say, well, that's the quality. It's healing and resurrection of the dead. Well, even Lazarus resurrected from the dead, but eventually died. And I read in the New Testament, Jesus did 40 pretty outstanding miracles. 40. Pretty quality stuff. It has to be something with quantitative. Be because in Jesus' life of 33 years, he pretty much stayed in Israel, maybe Tyre and Sidon, but other than that, he stayed pretty local. But all of a sudden, the disciples have gone from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, Syria, Asia Minor, Ethiopia, Greece, Macedonia. Man, they went all the way to Iraq and India. And there's offices everywhere now. What a great, great thing we are experiencing, what God is doing. He's allowing us as a church to be a part of that. So on this occasion, I'm always so thrilled when we get a chance to talk about what we keep as our purpose. Our theme, oneness. We'll talk about this again. Oneness of purpose. It's important for us to realize, okay, why are we doing what we're doing? Because we've been given a mission that's really possible. Our purpose is going to all the world. I'm going to invite you to just bow your heads with me. Father in heaven, we want to thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your hand over our lives personally. Somebody somewhere told us about Hope Chapel, and somebody somewhere told us about Jesus. If you go to that church, they're going to talk about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We have Jesus everywhere. And Lord, but we want Jesus in our life to stay. If you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, but today's the day. Say, I need him, that assurance of eternal life. Every eye is closed, but would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need the Lord in my life. Just put it up. Thank you. Go ahead, put it down. Anyone else? Thank you. Or you need to recommit your life, which means I'm here because I haven't been doing very good with God, but I'm ready to give him everything he would require. Would you put your hands up and say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Thank you. Good. Well, for the sake of these seven hands, and let me lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to really sing together. Shall we do that? In a posture of prayer. God's presence. He knows our heart. Scripture says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Something will change dramatically. Let's all pray together this prayer out loud so nobody feels singled out. But it goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you that you are the Savior of the world. And I acknowledge to you that I have sinned against you and against others. And I ask you, Almighty God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I give you my life. Use it for your glory. I trust you, Lord, for eternal life in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Glory to God. Can we just thank the Lord? And I want to just thank you. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet and welcome our prayer team up. They're going to align themselves as we begin to honor God in this song. If you're needing prayer, would you find men pray with men, women pray with women? Watch how the Lord will minister life. God does the miraculous following preaching of the word. Or if you need somebody to say, you know, I just prayed that prayer and meant it. And I just want you to agree with me about my life now with Jesus. I'm a little nervous. What's that going to look like? Do I give up my life? Will my family accept me? Is there something that and nervousness comes on. You let this group pray for you. But let's sing, shall we? Let's sing right now. Let's trust the Lord.
I am loved. I
Well, friends, what a great morning we had. Thank you for coming to Hope Chapel, making an effort to be here. I know the Lord's going to reward you for giving of your time, and especially you who presented your life to Him today. It's worth celebrating. I like it how that Luke's Gospel in chapter 15, verse 7 and verse 10, when one person gives their life to Christ, turns to God, all the angels in heaven rejoice. So there's a lot of bells and whistles going off. But for you today, free donuts and coffee. How's that? Is that all right? Till we all get there in glory. I'm going to invite you. The donuts and coffee are right through. Carson, would you open up that side door and show people the door? We want to invite you to rest a little bit. Come and talk and let's enjoy. There's going to continue to be prayer up front here. So if you don't mind just coming by and just politely just passing on through or receive prayer, we do want to encourage you to do just that. Next service, come stay with us. The weather could be a little bit rainy. So we want to thank you for your goodness, your blessing over what you have said and shared to us, Almighty Father. You run to us. We are loved. You have selected us, and we feel so privileged that we have heard the gospel. And today we stand in Christ. Lord, we want to thank you. Something so wonderful and so outstanding should never be hidden. Let our light so shine now, everywhere we go, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Let's go into fellowship hall. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.